When God put man in the Garden of Eden, it did not appear that God expected or was demanding man to change anything. Because when God finished his creation, he said, "It is very good." Man, woman, in the garden, they've been given two commands or two basic instructions. One, dress and keep the garden. Enjoy your life here. And number two, that tree in the middle of the garden, leave it alone. Don't eat of the fruit of it. Leave it alone. That is forbidden. And so it did not appear that God intended for man to do any growing, to do any changing or anything, because there was no sin. But when sin entered the world, through unbelief, through a lack of faith in God, through a spirit of disobedience, when sin entered the world, then man needed to change. God's not going to change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. The Bible says he changes not. The way God deals with man, the commandments that God has given to man may change. But God does not change. The only ones that are going to do the changing, that's you and me. So I would like for you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. This will be our text this morning as we ask the question, are you becoming? Are you becoming? Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of or by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the old law, we will find repeatedly the word be. 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 This is a word to indicate something that you're supposed to accomplish, something you're supposed to do, something you're supposed to become. The new law, the law of liberty, tells us to become. Become more like Jesus. Become more than what you were. The old law says, be holy. In Exodus 29:37, whoever touches the altar must be holy. In Genesis chapter or Leviticus chapter 11 verse 44, and you shall be holy for I am holy. Be perfect, it says. Genesis chapter 17 1, Deuteronomy 18 verse 3. Keep the law, Deuteronomy chapter 17 verse 18. Obey all the commandments, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. Now while the New Testament requires the same from us, that we be holy, that we be perfect, that we keep the law of God, that we obey God, the commandments of God, the New Testament requires the same from us, yet there is a difference, and that difference is Jesus Christ. Even though he always has existed as the Word of God, yet when before Jesus came to the earth, he was not the Savior of the world. And until he died on the cross, he uttered those words, "It is finished," and then he gave up his life for man. At that point, Jesus became the Savior of the world. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, he brought salvation by grace to all those who will follow him in faith, who will follow him in faith. In other words, God requires us to be his people. And to be like him. Grace allows us to become more than what we are. Therefore, we are to be people who are becoming. Becoming something more than what we are. Now, when Satan came into the garden, God basically had instructed Adam and Eve, you be good, you'll be obedient, you be happy. And all was good. You can't become better than that. But then Satan comes along and tempts them and slops everything up. And now the couple, Adam and Eve, had to face the consequences. And the consequences of sin have passed on to all men because all have sinned. But I want you to notice what God said in Genesis 3, 22 and 23. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So man would have to choose for himself. Before, he was simply to live in the garden, dress the garden and keep it, enjoy the fruits thereof, live his life and be happy. No changing needed. But now, man was going to have to start becoming more than what he was. What he was a sinner. What he was someone who had been separated from God because of his sin, and he was going to have to find his way back to God. And it would have been impossible if God had not offered a way. And that way, ultimately, is through Jesus Christ. When God gave the law by Moses, he had chosen Israel to be his people, the people through whom he would bless all nations of the earth in the coming of Christ. But placing his name on them, God declared them to be holy. God told his people, be holy, in Exodus 19:6. Because I'm holy, you be holy. I am the holy God. There is none like me. I have chosen you to be my people. Now, I've placed my name on you, so you have to be holy. You have to be holy. Years later, as Israel prepared to enter the promised land, God repeated the covenant he'd made with them back in Exodus chapter 19. We find that repetition in Deuteronomy 27, verse 9. Then Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke to all Israel, saying, take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You have become people. Now they were already the people of God, but they had grown. They had matured. They had become God's people, first of all, by God's own choice. And therefore, they were to obey his commandments in order to remain his people. Now, did that mean that they had everything worked out for them? No. No, of course not. They had to learn the law. They had to follow the law to the letter. And that was just pretty much black and white. It was just the way it was. One either got it right or they got it wrong. That's the way it was under the law of Moses. And although the law was laid out for them in great detail, when it came down to the application of that law, the people of Israel failed miserably. They were utter failures at keeping the law of Moses. Now, if they couldn't keep it, how could the rest of the world keep it who had not been witness to all the miracles of God as he delivered them from Egypt, as he blessed them through the 40 years of wilderness wandering, as he was with them in the conquest of the land of Canaan, as he blessed them as a nation as they grew and became even more than what they were? If they couldn't do it, what could the rest of the world possibly do? There was no hope for anybody. If Israel couldn't keep the law, nobody would be able to keep the law. And the only hope man would have, the only hope he had, would be through Jesus Christ. Well, so what about today? Here we are sitting here in a worship service. We are the church that you read about in the New Testament. We're not better than anybody else. We're certainly not more spiritually minded than everybody else on the earth or anything like that. That's not it at all. What is it that separates us from the world? The grace of God. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we have committed our lives to his keeping, to his obedience, to obeying his commandments. We've committed our lives to serving him. We are God's people. We've been born again of water and the Spirit. We have become children of God. We are indeed blessed above so many people of the world who have not yet obeyed the gospel. because we are the church, does that mean we've got it all figured out? We're in big danger if we think we have. As the bulletin article was talking about, we need to be careful lest we fall. We need to be real careful. None of us have gotten everything right. Not yet, anyway. In fact, we never will we? The big difference between the old law and the new law in Christ is that we're all able to continue in a constant state of becoming. We're able to keep growing. We're able to become more than what we were even yesterday if we keep up the effort, if we make the effort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. The truth is, we must be in a constant state of change. Now, I'm not talking about changing what God said or changing the meaning of God's word at all. I'm talking about us changing. Us becoming more like Jesus. Us becoming more than what we were. Growth involves change. So this little fella, he loved his cowboy boots. He's 5 years old. Got him a pair of cowboy boots. He wears them all the time. They are broke in and almost broken down. He has worn them so much. He loves those boots. But time passes, and they start getting a little bit tighter on his feet as he's growing. But he keeps on wearing them. He squeezes into them and wears those boots around the house. And finally the day comes that Mom says, "Those boots have got to go." "No, Mama, not my boots. I love my boots. You can't take my boots." Yeah, they got to go. Nothing he says can change Mother's mind. It's time for some new boots because he has grown. And the old boots just don't fit any longer. We've seen many insects. We've seen crustaceans under the ocean. You've watched those documentaries. How that they will, as they grow, they crack open the carapace, their shell, and they exit that shell and develop a new outer skin because they've grown. We've seen this in the insect world. We've seen this in the animal kingdom. The same is true with all of us. There are times when we must go through a painful process of realizing that we're not where we ought to be, and we've got to grow. We've got to make the effort to become more than what we were. Maybe a better example is when little boys used to wear knee breeches. Any of y'all ever wear knee breeches? Henry, no. I'm looking around for somebody older than Henry. I don't see anybody older than him. Gary, are you older than Henry? Did you wear knee breeches? No, I don't think so. You weren't back in the 1800s. Well, up until about the 1930s, little boys, especially in high society, they didn't even have long pants. They wore knee breeches. That was a mark of boyhood. And when they got their big boy pants, that was long pants. That's what it was. That's the way it was. It was a rite of passage for a boy to move from wearing knee breeches to long pants. It was an indication that childhood was passing and manhood was approaching. Change is necessary for growth. It's necessary. Now, we don't like change. We like things to stay like they are. All of us are disappointed in what has happened in our country. Things were rocking along beautifully. Our economy was booming, busting at the seams. Unemployment was at the lowest it's been in my lifetime. We were seeing so many good and positive things. This church was growing. Our numbers were increasing. We were seeing more and more people involved in more activities, in reaching out, in visiting, in trying to help their neighbor, in doing good works. We were seeing incredible things happening. And then all this happened, and it has changed so much. We cannot control what happens out there. We can't control it. What we have to control is what happens in here, in our hearts. We have to control what we do. We have to control what we think. We have to control the attitude that we have. We must not give up on God or give up on God's word or on, even on God's people. But we must make sure that we are continuing to grow, even if we're having to be separated for a while. Even if the things that we had planned to do as a congregation didn't happen yet. Even though we've had to make changes in many plans and the way we do things. And we're not happy with that. We don't like that kind of change. But sometimes it's necessary. I'm not talking about taking on new doctrines, but a better understanding of the old ones. I'm not talking about new commandments, but a better obedience of the same commandments that we've already been given. I'm not talking about new worship innovations. All of those are externals. And while the old law dealt primarily with externals, the law of Christ deals with the heart, deals with the internals. See, some people want to keep going back to the old law. They want to go back to externals, dim the lights, hold hands, chant together, sing while taking communion, have instrumental music to help create a mood, and on the changes that they would propose, the list could go on. But I'm not talking about these externals or things of that nature that are contrary to the Word of God. But what I'm talking about, brethren, not worship innovations, but about deeper, more meaningful worship, where we approach God in humility, with bowed heads and humble hearts, seeking to praise His name, to lift Him up in song and in prayer, and as we remember the Lord's Supper, as we give as God has given to us, as we study His Word, as we enjoy fellowship with each other, because worship not only goes up, but the fellowship goes across. The fellowship goes across, the worship goes up. We are participants in the worship. We're not the audience of the worship. We are the participants. God is the receiver. He is the audience of our worship. But all of us are benefited when we can worship together, when we can sit in the same room, even though we, and in other places where they can't, at least they're able to benefit from the fact that we are together. And so here we are. We're trying to deal with the heart and change and growth, and it's not easy. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That yoke, learn of me, that means changing, that means growing. Now it comes down, brethren, to milk or meat. That's what it boils down to, milk or meat. We have to choose between remaining or becoming. Staying where we are or becoming more than what we are. The Hebrew writer intended that people understand the deep truths about Jesus Christ. He wanted them to know this. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, beginning, he says, of whom we have much to say, talking about Jesus Christ, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as need milk and not solid food. For anyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, maturity. Let us grow to adulthood, spiritual adulthood. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of the doctrine of baptisms, or of laying on of hands, or of the resurrection of the dead, or of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. We will help you grow. This is what the apostles were saying. We will help you to become what you ought to be if God will permit. Now, brethren, when we get into a rut, I know some of you have probably been mudding. I went mudding once by accident. Didn't mean to. Got off in a ditch, and I had to follow that ditch a long way till I could get out of it. When we get into a rut, we have to get out of it. We cannot continue to be stuck in stuckness. Little boy went back home to his hometown, old boy, that's what we say in the South, isn't it? This old boy. He went back to his hometown. He'd been gone for 10 years. And he was back in his hometown walking down the street, and he passed the shoe store, and I've told you this story before. He passed the shoe store, and he saw, it was open, and he remembered, when I left here, right before I left, I took a pair of shoes in there to get repaired. So he just wandered in there, and he asked the owner, he says, I'm here, it's been a long time since I've been in here, but I dropped off a pair of shoes here 10 years ago. Is it possible they're still here? And the owner said, well, hang on, let me check. He went in the back, and he came back out and said, yep, they're back there. And the boy said, well, are they ready? And old man said, nope, they'll be ready Tuesday. Brethren, we can't just sit on a shelf and wait for time to go by. We have to be about the Lord's business. We have to be about doing good. We can't afford to remain where we were and who we were 10 years ago. We have to become more than what we were 10 years ago. We just can't remain where we are and who we are and expect to be acceptable to God. Growth has to take place. There's work that's waiting to be done. And we have to quit saying, I'll get around to it, and just get on with it. That's what we need to do. Get on with what? Well, what you already know about yourself. Those areas of weakness that you know you have. Those good deeds that you've intended to do for so long. We need to get on with it. Get on with it. What needs to be changed in your life? Get on with it. What do you need to do to grow? You know. So get on with it. What are you becoming? Remember, the apostles made the statement in Hebrews 6, verse 3, about what they wanted to do for the brethren, and they said, this we will do if God permits. What would they do? They would help them to become more than what they were. Become what? Well, like little children, for instance. Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus said, assuredly, I say unto you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to become like little children. In malice, be like children. In understanding, be like men, as 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20 declares. But in malice, we're to be like children. Little children can be fighting over a toy, and 5 minutes later, they're playing together, and the fight's all not even in their memory. They don't even remember it. And that's what he's saying. In malice, we need to be like children. Why, if you hurt my feelings, I'm probably going to remember it for 20 years. Man, that ain't right. That's just not right. We got to grow past that. We can't let that happen to us. We need to be like children. We need to become fishers of men. We need to be evangelistic, brethren. Jesus said in Mark 16, Jesus said in Mark 1, verse 17 and 18, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. I want you to notice their response. They took action right then. They left their nets and followed Jesus. They set about becoming. They accepted the challenge to change. Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, putting aside every distraction, brethren, that hinders our walk with Jesus. We must do like they did if we are to become fishers of men. Be like little children. We need to become fools to be wise. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, 19, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. In other words, if you think you're smart based on the world's view of you, if you look at the world through the world's eyes and that's how you see things and that's how things ought to be, then you need to become a fool, because being wise in your own eyes, you need to become a fool so that you can truly be wise. You need to give up all that and realize you don't know as much as you think you do if you're looking at things from the world's point of view. You need to look at things from the Lord's point of view. So we all need to be becoming wise in God's ways, not in man's ways. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. The world does not look at things through the eyes of the Lord. It does not. It discounts the Lord. It marginalizes the scriptures. It considers God's people as religious fanatics. The world hates God, and it hates God's word, and it hates God's people. And we have to come to terms with that. We have to face that reality that the world hates God. It does, because God stands for everything the world is against. There's a difference between the world's view of life and the abundant life that Jesus offers. So in Romans 12:16, we're told, be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord in all things. And finally this morning, we need to become spiritually mature. We need to become spiritually adult. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward one another. Here is the church in Thessalonica. Their faith is continuing to grow. Their love for each other is continuing to grow. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is the kind of people we're supposed to be, who continue to grow in every aspect of our religious faith, in every aspect of our walk with Jesus. We are continuing to grow. We are becoming spiritual adults. And folks, we need to face the fact, if we're not growing, we are dying. We are. If one is not becoming, he is dying, or perhaps even already spiritually dead. One evening, about dark, a very superstitious man took a shortcut through a cemetery. Hadn't been through there before, but somebody told him about it, so he's walking through that cemetery, and he noticed a particular message on a headstone that caught his eye. And the message said, I am not dead, I sleep. That's what the message said. I am not dead, I sleep. And hurrying away, the fellow muttered under his breath, you can think that if you want to, but you ain't fooling nobody but yourself. He is dead. He's in the grave. He's in the grave. Now, we know the message, I am not dead but sleep, meaning the hope of resurrection, but sometimes people can be dead spiritually, and they're fooling themselves. We may be trying the same thing. We can be in a slump for a while, but brethren, at some point, we got to move on. We got to grow. We got to get on with it. And perhaps we're just fooling ourselves if we're not moving on, if we're not becoming. The beautiful thing about God's grace is that anyone can begin again. Anyone can. So if you've stopped growing, if you've stopped becoming more than what you are, grace says you can start over. You can. God's mercy is reaching out to you. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. My brethren, we need to continue becoming. Become more than what we are. Become more like Jesus. Keep growing. Never reach a point where you think you understand enough, or you're doing enough, or you're giving enough, or you're worshiping enough, or any of that kind of thinking. Never reach that point, but recognize the need to continue to grow as a person, as a church. Grow in our faith. Grow in our love for each other. Grow in our acts of obedience. Grow as children. Become like children. Grow by giving up the wisdom of the world and taking up the foolishness as the world views God's word. Taking up the foolishness of God. We need to be wise in the ways of God rather than the ways of the world. We need to be fishers of men, reaching out to the lost and bringing them to Jesus. We need to grow to maturity as spiritual adults, so that we can continue to minister the word of God to the lost of the world, and continue to worship God acceptably, and continue to become more and more and more like Jesus. So I close this morning with this question. Are you becoming? Are you becoming? If you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of God. You need to have that new birth, be born again of water and the Spirit. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, be baptized for the remission of your sins. God will wash your sins away by the blood of Jesus, and you'll be raised up to walk in newness of life. And if you're already a child of God, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, maybe you've been in a rut for a long time, maybe you've been kidding yourself, why don't you change today? Why don't you repent? Rededicate your life to Him. Whatever your need, if there's a way we can help you without delay, we invite and encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.